I want to talk to Paul Vallis here, former school CEO for CPS, because he's been suggesting something that, I don't know, should maybe be considered. What do you think? Should Chicago public schools kids, and maybe public schools kids in general, who were going only remotely or shut down so much throughout the pandemic, should they go through the school the summer? Should they go to school throughout the summer to make up for the lost learning? Paul, you kind of set a fire here when you put that out on Twitter, because I saw a lot of people
were not so happy.
No, you did. You did.
It's not like I was asking people to work for free. Look, you know, the federal government just enacted another $5 billion in education funding for Illinois schools alone. Chicago's going to get $1.7 billion minimum. It could be much higher than that. That's on top of the $925 million they've already gotten. It's almost, in combination, the COVID money, it's like $8,000 a kid. Biden has also said about 20% of that new money should be used to have summer school or to have extended school day so that the kids can get caught up. Because let me point out that 80% of the kids in Illinois are still either in these convoluted hybrid models or they're remote. And serious damage is being done. It's well documented that remote learning has been an absolute disaster. It's also important to remember that we've got the shortest school day and school year in the in the industrial world. I mean our school year and our school day is significantly short. I mean, the school day year is what, 180 days. The work year is about 190 days. So at the end of the day, our kids are getting shortchanged anyway. So designing maybe a 6 to 8 week summer semester program to help make up for lost instructional time, to help those students who have special needs, you assess and you evaluate where the students are at. There are not only academic needs, but social-emotional needs that need to be addressed, and to create work-study opportunities for these high school kids to get them into safe places. I mean, that's the minimum that we can expect, given the infusion of money, the unprecedented infusion of money that is being funneled to school districts that, well, in Chicago, we're effectively closed for 12 months.
So you essentially have this new money, as you point out, $1.7 billion additional federal funding. But you're not saying the teachers will work for free. You're saying let's pay the teachers. Would you be able to have classes across all schools and all school, every classroom based on volunteer teachers?
Well, let me point out what we did when I was CEO. We actually had summer semester. And we had about 180,000 kids in summer school for 6 weeks, 6 hours a day. We also had recreation, and we had every single school open. And then, of course, we didn't have the resources they have now, so we targeted the benchmark grades. So, yes, I mean, I would work to open as many schools as possible and to get them and as many classes as possible, because we've got to get these kids reengaged. And look, if Chicago public school teachers, the union, first of all, is going to resist it. If they are mandated to do it by the federal government or by the state, which I doubt, they're going to demand that teachers have the option. You know, there's a lot of teachers over the summer, a lot of parochial and private school teachers over the summer that might want to work a summer and pick up additional income and might be more than willing. A lot of university students just graduating or college education majors who might want to work the summer in schools, too. So it's important that the district get organized now and start planning now so that they can get these kids engaged. And I want to make one other comment, because 83 students were murdered, school-age children were murdered in Chicago last year. It's 567 shot. The summer is the most violent time for murders and we all remember the violent summer last year. And so getting kids engaged, particularly teenagers, and let me point out that 14 of the children who were shot were under the age of 10, but getting children back into school and getting these high school kids back reengaged, I think is critically important. You know, the union likes to say that, or the union has spread the big lie this past year, claiming that, you know, forcing people to go back to school is a life or death decision. When you keep schools closed, it's a life or death decision. So it's really important. And student safety is not the primary reason, but student safety is nevertheless a very important reason and a very important consideration for people as they contemplate what they're going to do with this enormous amount of federal money that's basically coming to the district.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. I know the teachers union, if you look at Twitter, was not particularly happy with this proposal. Is that putting it lightly? Here's a better idea. Go away, Paul Vallis. They were not happy with you. I just wonder if you're going to ask teachers to volunteer for it and they're getting paid. I don't know if I understand enough to know why there's so much pushback.
At the end of the day, we didn't have that big of a problem extending our school year a number of years ago because we paid and I don't know, maybe the union leadership was different in those days. We have the shortest school year on the planet, for crying out loud, and the shortest school day. The research tells you that instructional time on task is a game changer. You would think that's where we would be investing the bulk of our resources. You know, of course, I wouldn't give teachers or support staff the choice. I would give them the option of opting out under certain conditions. But we've gone through a horrendous year, and the children have been adversely impacted the most. And let me point out that just the impact on working families, only one out of six Black and Latino families can work remotely. Only one in six. And the families that are being impacted the most from the COVID mitigations, which have shut down businesses, et cetera, and have devastated low-income jobs, I think the number of low-income jobs in the city of Chicago is down about 35-36% the last data indicated. And those jobs are heavily dominated by women. You have woman-led households, and so the mothers are being faced with a choice of if they have not lost their jobs and if those businesses have not closed down, they have a choice as to whether or not to keep their children at home or in effect just leave their jobs altogether. And you know, in August and in September, when the school year started, there were over a million additional individuals who applied for unemployment who basically lost their jobs or left their jobs, and 80% of them were women. So not reopening schools is having a devastating impact on working families, and it's having a devastating impact on working families that are being led by mothers. So it's critically important that schools reopen.
Another disturbing trend, just to throw it out there, and something else that the schools will need to look at. Folks are going to have to see why 12%, a full 12% of students in CPS did not show up anywhere, didn't show up in person, have not shown up online as they've reopened schools in a hybrid model. They've just sort of lost 12% of the population, and those are heavily concentrated in minority communities as well.
Exactly. And Anna, I have to say this, that 12% doesn't even include the number of students, and you've heard stories, more than anecdotal stories, about high school students just like tuning in and then just going on and doing something else. So it appears that they're participating, but they're really not. And how many of those students have been lost to the street? The police officers will tell you that at least a third of the carjackers, the skyrocketing carjack rate in the city, at least a third of those carjackers are in fact school-aged teens, out-of-school teens. So it's really having a devastating impact, and we're losing a generation. And we're going to be paying the consequences. It's time for the union leadership to step up and for everybody to do their job. Because just imagine a school district that already has the largest budget in its history, despite having lost enrollment for 17 consecutive years, and now it has an infusion of an additional $1.7 billion on top of the $925 million they've already received. And they're not going to open high schools until when? Next year? And they're not going to have a robust summer school program to try to reach as many kids as possible. It is really educational malpractice, and people need to step up to the plate. Public servants need to serve the public, period.
Paul, we're running short on time. I asked for pushback. Here's some listener text, 331. Not all CPS kids are falling behind when it comes to learning remotely. Many are thriving. They need to run and play outdoors this summer, not be in school.
Well, you know, I submit to you that they have been running and playing outdoors. And let me point out that, yes, McKinsey came out with a report that basically said it documented how much learning loss has occurred during the COVID period because of the closing of the schools, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, so I'm sorry. I mean, there may be a small percentage of kids who are thriving, but the overwhelming vast majority of kids, particularly Black and Latino children, are in fact suffering, and that is well documented. By contrast, the Archdiocese has been open since August, and incidentally, the Archdiocese reported last year that their academic performance exceeded expectations. In fact, they grew. They both in reading and in math, they grew more than 1 year for the 1 year instructional time. The base being 100%, I think they're 130% in reading and 108% in math. So at the end of the day, the Archdiocese has been able to do it with 200 of their schools. What's the excuse of the Chicago Teachers Union?
Just one more text here. Please let the kids spend time with their grandparents. We've missed them all year. Don't take our summer visits away. So folks are saying that I suppose there are activities and camps and educational things that a lot of kids look forward to doing as well this summer that, you know, you didn't get to do last year. Maybe you should get to do those too. That's some of the other sort of things for consideration.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, it's not like schools are open 24 hours a day, and it's not like they're going to take the entire 2.5-3 months of the summer and devote it to education. We're talking about creating a 6 to 8 week summer semester so we can get these kids back on track. No more excuses. I mean, it's time to place the kids first, and unfortunately, that has not been the case in the past year.
All right, I hear you, Paul. Thank you for your perspective. Have you gotten any reaction? Obviously, the teachers' union is not on board, but have CPS or any others? I mean, that's clear. But CPS or anybody like that, are you presenting this?
Oh yeah, you know, all the time. I've been conversing with many individuals in the suburbs, and many parents are very mad over the failure to reopen schools. In addition to a growing group of parents in the city that are angry too, and a lot of teachers have told me that they don't necessarily disagree with me, but you know the union has a tendency to shout down its own members sometimes. So you know, I've been getting I believe that I've been getting more of a positive response than a negative response, but I expected the union leadership to kind of rally the troops and you know anything that's going to require that leadership to demand that its members work more and devote more time and distract from their vacation time and their summer days off and their holidays, etc., they're going to resist. And it will not be surprising if the union insists that the reopening of high schools be conditioned on the juniors and seniors, the 16 and 17 year olds being vaccinated first. There's already talk about that. So don't expect the high schools to open anytime soon.
Okay, a couple more comments I want to read here, and then we're going to have to pause. But 847, I've been remote teaching and have taught my entire curriculum on pace to finish for the rest of the year. Students have shown success. Only a couple of my students out of 125 did poorly. Paul Vallis is right. 219 says, as a retired educator, I can safely say there definitely are kiddos who lost out immensely during the pandemic. 847, there'll be no school bullying or fights this year with remote learning. That's a positive.
I guess quarantines have their advantages.
Yeah, thank you, Paul, for the time. Well, conversation will continue for sure.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you.